You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Who was it on the show last week that said they didn't like Tom Petty?
Me, sorry.
Oh,
I think that was Dana. Oh, sorry. Did I say that too loud?
That was Dana.
Just not a huge fan. It's okay.
I love Tom Petty.
You know, I'm sure.
Yeah, and the Heartbreakers.
Yes, all of them.
It's a great song.
We were talking about the iconic artists that most everyone likes, but then there's always that one where you're like, not my thing. And I
said, Lil Durk. Everybody likes Lil Durk.
Yeah, anything starting with Lil, I'm out. James Taylor, and I'm sorry, I'm just not a huge Tom Petty fan.
I'm not a Bob Dylan fan.
You've always said that.
Can't stand
that. That's okay.
Recognize his talent. I hate Nirvana.
There are a lot of people that hate on Bob Dylan because he didn't exactly sing.
Well, he was a storyteller.
He was a storyteller, Sam.
Yeah, singer, songwriter, storyteller, folk hero.
And puberty, apparently. Sorry for that voice crack.
What was that?
Happens to all of us.
All right. What is the you were saying something about the weather tomorrow night.
Yeah, so in the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours, this has been getting a lot more attention from all of the meteorologists on social, okay?
Okay.
To the point that we're seeing terms like weather aware, possible tornadic activity. This is from Nick Bender. The severe risk on Wednesday tomorrow has increased for the Kansas City area. I know the calendar, he writes, says late October, but spring-like ingredients are coming together for damaging winds and a few possible tornadoes. Pretend it is April and take precautions like you would during severe weather season. Severe weather risk grows. This is from the Kansas City Star. 29 minutes ago, large hail, damaging wind, and tornadoes possible. Bender's got another one here. A few storms, severe, are also possible between 4 and 7 p.m. tomorrow night. But the lion's share of severe weather will occur after 7 p.m. through midnight. That means the greatest chance of severe weather again tomorrow night is going to happen after sunset. Check
right
for
now,
updates often. Have multiple
the National
ways
Weather Service has us right in the center of its enhanced risk zone.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Enhanced risk zone.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Yeah, it's a system between 1 and 5, and we are right smack dab in the middle at 3 for enhanced risk.
Okay. We're going to do terrible jokes coming up at 4:45 this afternoon. Sam, you've gotten your hands on an email that the Pleasant Hill Elementary School sent out earlier this afternoon.
Yeah, so essentially...
And don't read the teacher's names.
Of course not. It says at approximately 1:45 p.m. this afternoon, the classrooms of 4 different teachers were out at recess when a branch fell on the playground from a neighbor's tree. 911 was called immediately. Paramedics, fire, police responded. The branch hit 4 students, one of them hospitalized. The others suffered minor injuries, were treated and released. Parents were notified. All other students returned to the building safely.
All right. There is a photo of this tree from one of the reporters. Let me find it. Pleasant Hill.
It was from Fox 4.
From Fox 4. The winds must be high enough that when that thing came down on private property, it blew into the adjacent blacktop recess property. Because when you look at the photo, the tree is, what would you say there, Scott, 30 feet?
Well, I can't even see the top of it, but it's a tree that's been there for a long time.
No, in between the tree and the blacktop of the elementary school.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It's very close, but not close enough.
I would say that's much less than 30, probably 20.
Okay, let's go with 20 feet. So I want to paint the picture for our listeners because I think this is important because we all have trees that need to be pruned and high winds today. We're seeing all kinds of stuff.
Sure.
So this is a small ranch house, like your typical 3-bedroom, 2-bath, private home, with a relatively mature tree in the front yard.
Mm-hmm.
The limbs, it does not appear the limbs lean over the fence onto school property. That's not what happened here. When you look at the tree that fell, the limb is, like, let's go with 20 feet away from the small chain link fence that is adjacent to this private property. And right in front of the fence is the small little basketball goal with the chain link netting that we all had in elementary school. The winds had to have been high enough or at the angle enough that when this limb fell and the tree's at a gigantic V,
right,
one side of that V snapped about halfway up. And according to the way I read that statement, Sam flew over into the adjoining school property.
Can you show me the other picture of the limbs on the ground? There was something I thought I noticed.
It looks like those have been stacked. I don't think they all fell like that.
No, I don't think they did either. But those limbs are not hollowed out, so the tree's not dead.
I'm about to disagree with you. So based on the lack of damage to the fence, it obviously was not heavy enough to break the fence, right?
Look at my arrow.
Okay, yeah.
And so I think that this branch, it appears that the one that broke was the branch that was facing the street, not facing the recess area.
Correct.
And so I think it was just tall enough and just hollow enough that when the wind hit it just right, it sent it towards the fence, hit the top of the fence, and was hollow enough to break.
Well, and there is the top there, of the fence. There is, Dana was just showing me this. There is part of the branch that looks like it's been hollowed out.
I think it crumbled right on top of the fence. But of course, still with that much tree coming down, it would absolutely injure an elementary age student.
In my old neighborhood, up and down all of the streets in that neighborhood, honestly, the houses are 40 years old. Mm-hmm. We have these towering oak trees, okay? Beautiful, huge, towering oak trees. Thank God the neighborhood association always contracted either in conjunction with the city or whoever to make sure up and down that canopy, those were always pruned. So I never, not one time, had to call anyone and say, come prune the 40 feet high trees that are in front of my home. Neighborhood association always took care of that. So I don't have any real firsthand knowledge when you have a tree like that. How often do you have it pruned? When do you call somebody to see? Mm-hmm. What happens, God forbid? Because if I owned that house and you said to me one day part of that tree is going to fall and go flying over the fence onto adjacent elementary school property and injure a bunch of students, I wouldn't have believed it. It looks like the tree is far enough away that that would not happen until we have a day like today, but that doesn't 46 look, mile an hour wind gusts.
That doesn't look like an oak tree, and oak trees are incredibly strong.
I'm just asking when this happens. What does this mean?
Well, I think what you're really asking is the homeowner responsible?
Yes. And the answer always, I've been told, if it's your tree, is yes.
But is it not an act of God?
It most certainly is an act of God.
I've been told.
That branch didn't fall on its own.
But I've been told if the branch, like your branch at your house, Scott, falls and damages your neighbor's fence.
That's probably going on my pulse.
It's on you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I theoretically, I guess you could, if you wanted to, for the parents of the kid who was taken to the hospital. I mean, if you wanted to go after that homeowner's insurance, you probably could, would be my guess, especially if that tree limb is dead. Most certainly you can.
Would you know it was dead? I wouldn't know it was dead.
I don't know. Well, is it getting leaves in the summer?
Not dead, damaged.
Okay.
Clearly this tree is damaged.
Oh, it would have to be dead.
I don't know, Sam. I don't know that I agree with that.
I don't know that I agree with that either, Sam, because
46 mile an hour wind gusts, like stuff happens.
T was sending me pictures from Leavenworth of trees that are down today. And these trees had leaves on them. So, I mean, and even in my neighborhood, Bradford pears, and I only know this because I used to read the news 25 years ago on Toby Tobin's show. Bradford pears are one of the weakest trees you can buy.
I had one for 15 years until it came down. And guess what? Whacked my own fence, my own garage, and took out a Bracken Brown magnolia. But you know that when you buy a Bradford pear.
Right.
This is like a huge, I'm not an arbor person, but that's like an oak tree or an elm or something.
Well, I don't know that it's an oak. It's too thin to be that tall. It's too thin to be an oak tree, but maybe an elm.
4 minutes ago, the Kansas City Star posted that where this happened in Pleasant Hill at Pleasant Hill Elementary, area winds gusted near 50 miles per hour.
But I mean, if you look all the way up on the tree, as far as you can see in the picture, obviously we can't see the top, there is not a single branch with leaves on it.
Somebody says here on the text line, I'm an adjuster. Hang on, this text line is going crazy right now. I'm an adjuster. Even if the tree were dead, the homeowner is not liable unless they knew it was dead. And you can't prove they knew because your average homeowner,
I wouldn't know. I hate to say it, I would not know.
Is not an arborist. Telephone number here is 913-586-7798, 586-7798. 7798. We'll get to your calls, your comments in just a moment. Hopefully, the student who was rushed to the hospital is going to be okay. We believe that he or she will be. And to the other students, they're going to be fine. The teachers that were on scene are all going to be fine. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. All right, a couple of people dropped off during the break. So if you want in, maybe you have some expertise in this field, 913-586-7798, 913-586-7798. The pictures I was looking at online were, on my email were actually from T's mom's yard. And you saw it. I showed it to you. Huge tree up in Leavenworth that fell in her yard. So these winds obviously have the power to topple trees. Big help. What would you would think were healthy trees? Shauna in Macon. Hello, Shauna.
Hi, I'm actually driving to Michigan. I'm in the middle of somewhere in Missouri. And of course, I'm driving. I hope you can hear me on the windiest day in a long time.
We can. Go ahead.
Great. So I'm a 17-year catastrophe adjuster, and I just wanted to clarify a couple of things. You were right, Scott. It is an act of God. Any weather-related stuff like that, it's really every man for himself. If your neighbor's tree falls on your fence or your house, it's going to be your insurance that picks that up. The neighbor is not liable for wind. And also, the only way that they would... So in order to be liable, you have to have negligence. And to prove negligence, you would have to prove that the homeowner knew that the tree was dead or had been put on notice that it was, you know, a potential hazard. And your average homeowner is not an arborist, so they're not going to know that it's dead.
So if, and we don't know this, and we don't have no reason to think that this is going to happen, but in this case, let me put you on hold, and then I'll bring you back to answer the question because the wind is kind of loud. If somebody did want to sue, let's take the school out of it today. Let's say a tree branch from my neighbor's yard, and my neighbor didn't know the tree was dead, falls into my yard while I'm out mowing the grass, and I'm injured. If I choose to sue my neighbor, or let me rephrase that, who's responsible if I choose to sue anyone?
Well, I don't quite understand the question, but I can say this. If you're the homeowner whose tree fell and injured your neighbor and they sue you, Scott, your insurance automatically comes with legal protection, whether the claim is covered or not. They will protect you in that scenario, and they'll have their own lawyer for you and everything at no extra cost.
Okay. All right. And that was the question I was asking. So thank you.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Somebody says, I'm going to run down to Pleasant Hill. I'll be near the elementary school if you want me to send pictures. No, we're good. We've already got some from the reporter over at Fox 4.
It's exactly as described.
A story here from the New York Post. An intoxicated golfer was arrested earlier this month after smashing a driver over another player's head in a stunning scene.
Ooh.
The event, caught on video, took place at Burnaby Mountain Golf Course in British Columbia, Canada, on October 12th, when a verbal dispute turned into an ugly attack.
Thwack!
As the two golfers yelled back and forth, with one of them saying, "You hit blanking towards me."
Okay, I changed my opinion.
A golfer wearing a white hat and dark-colored shirt walked toward the other, who was wearing a pink shirt, of course, mm-hmm. It was, before lifting his right arm, holding a driver, and nailing the other golfer in the head with a loud thud. "What the blank is wrong with you?" one of the golfers on the course can be heard saying. "Call the blanking cops." Cops reported that the 43-year-old suspect was intoxicated, arrested on the scene with no incident. The head of the driver came flying off as others watched in horror.
So you're not saying he hit into him. You're saying he hit him.
You hit blanking toward me.
And then the reply was thwack.
Followed by, "What the blank is wrong with you?"
Tee shot. Yeah, this is this swing here.
All right.
And oh boy. Obviously not happy with that one.
That is when our Rory McIlroy threw his 3-wood into the water after a tee shot.
Fun fact, they don't float.
Oh, they don't?
He just threw it in shallow enough water that he was able to run over, retrieve it, and pull it back. When you first...
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I'm happy with that one.
Right into the old drink. When I first heard you reading that story, I thought you were going to say someone hit into the player intentionally. And I always say this when I'm golfing. You hit into me once, that's an accident. You hit into me twice, we are going to have a problem.
And how close does it have to be in golf?
You know what your distances are. And if you see someone in the fairway and you're impatient, you just can't wait to hit that ball, I will allow it once.
All right. And oh boy, obviously not happy with that one.
If it happens again, Crazy Dana comes out.
Have you ever been hit into twice?
Yes.
And what have you done?
The appropriate thing to do is to call the pro shop and let them handle it. Give them an earful. They'll come out and handle it.
Okay.
Or you could...
become homicidal?
Tee it up in the middle of the fairway and hit it back at them.
I think that's the most appropriate response.
I think that's the better response.
Yeah.
I have taken a scorecard. This is my favorite response. I bet I've done this 5 times. I have taken a scorecard... and you stick a tee directly through it with their ball now teed up in the fairway with a note of your choice written on the scorecard.
Typically filled with expletives?
My message got through.
Okay.
They did not hit into us again.
You would refer to that message as perhaps stern.
A little.
Maybe not safe for work.
More of a suggestion to stop being a blank.
On what they could do to themselves?
Yes!
Maybe shove the ball somewhere.
That's why I always carry a Sharpie. You never know. Mark your ball. Have to leave a note in the middle of a fairway to someone that keeps sitting into you. Like, it's one of the most aggravating things.
Somebody says on the text line, why is it that golfers always seem like they're having the worst day of their life?
I will tell you this, Scott. We'll see if this will play. I don't think it'll play on the air, but we'll see. Someone sent me this. I sent it to you and Sam. You don't ever check my text messages. Someone wrote on, I think it was TikTok, what would happen if a soccer announcer switched places with a golf announcer? It is one of the funniest things. And it's like Ronaldo is getting ready to take the shot of the century. He's getting ready to kick the ball. And it goes, lining it up.
Oh, God.
Going to go a little left to right.
Takes a few steps back.
He bends it like Beckham.
He drains it. And then there's just this golf clap. And then it shows Tiger Woods putting, and he goes, here we go. He's lining it up. It's a... oh!
In the hole! In the hole!
Nice. It's so funny.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on KMBZ.
Oh, boy. Obviously not happy with that one.
Story here from CBS Market Watch. Travelers have long faced issues with delayed or canceled flights and often have had to fight airlines for compensation they feel that they are owed, but not anymore. Mm-mm. Not up in here.
It's today, isn't it?
I believe it went into effect yesterday. The U.S. Department of Transportation has new rules. They went into effect yesterday that require airlines to provide a refund to passengers when the carriers, now here's the tricky part, quote, cancel or significantly change their flights, significantly delay their checked bags, or fail to provide the extra services they purchased.
Define significantly.
There it is right there.
Smelling a loophole here.
Many consumer advocates have welcomed the initiative. This is long overdue, said Cleveland-based consumer attorney Dan Caron. Some of these new airline refund rules are not the most revolutionary, but they're all certainly pro-passenger, and passengers needed a little wind at their back in terms of how to deal with the airlines. Okay, flight cancellations do qualify for sure.
Okay, but like how, is it an immediate, like here we're going to give you a check, immediately refund? How does this work?
Airlines must promptly issue a refund. Now, just like significantly.
What does promptly mean?
Define promptly. By the way, we're going to do terrible jokes coming up in 10 minutes. So if you have an arable but terrible joke, go ahead and start sending those in to the text line at 913-586-7798. Your joke has to be arable but terrible. read that dad jokes. We're doing terrible jokes, 10 minutes. Send in your terrible jokes at 913-586-7798. Airlines must also provide prompt notifications to passengers of their right to a refund when an issue arises or when issues arise. So in that one, define prompt and define issue. This is very vague.
Well, and they write it that way on purpose because we all know about this thing called lobbies. The airline lobby has a lot of money.
Okay. Must promptly issue a refund.
They want to protect their money the best they can.
I guess.
I would like my flight to arrive promptly when they tell me it's going to.
There was a weather delay. The skies are blue. Yeah, it was weather somewhere else.
I know. Isn't that always the case? Something happened in Dallas, and now here we are.
Speaking of air travel, the longest direct flight in American Airlines history is now in the books. Flight AAL-7 departed from Dallas Saturday night, landed at Brisbane Airport in Australia after nearly 16 hours in the air and 8,300 miles traveled.
This makes my ankles hurt just thinking about it.
Landed 33 minutes early. That was prompt.
Hey, good for them. Caught a current.
It was a Boeing 787-9. Took off at 9:57 Saturday night, landed at 4:57 Monday morning in Australia.
Do you get three meals on that flight?
Well, it was a 16-hour flight. I would hope so.
How much booze can I get?
That's the question. How drunk can I get on that flight?
The plane... You're not supposed to get drunk on a flight.
You think I'm the only person asking that question? Everyone's thinking it.
The plane carries 285 people, but American Airlines would not say how many people were actually on board. You couldn't pay me. I always thought when I was a kid, younger. First of all, I wanted to go to all seven continents at some point in my life until I found out how much it cost to go see Antarctica. And I definitely wanted to see Australia. I will go to my grave having never seen Australia.
It's too long to get there.
Way too long.
Oh, I would love to go.
And way
I hate
too long.
Planes. I would sacrifice 16 hours of
Sam,
hell.
Your legs are too long. I'm sorry. That's You're like true. A gazelle. I just don't think it's a good idea
Sam,
for you.
It's not 16 hours. It's 16 hours in the air.
Right.
Because you would have to leave Kansas City, go to L.A.,
yeah.
L.A. to Honolulu,
right.
Honolulu to Australia.
I might need a wheelchair once I get there, but it would be worth the sacrifice.
No thanks, man. No way. Anything over 8 hours, I ain't going.
Agree.
TMZ Las Vegas is heating things up for election season with some adult entertainment spots rolling out steamy voter incentives from...
Incentives should never, ever be in the same sentence.
Some of them are off. I can't read some of this, Sam. Why'd you print this?
Because I like to watch you dance around it.
They're offering free
services.
Dances on.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
And, if you have I voted sticker.
And discounting some other things that I can't talk about.
Good God.
Really, Sam?
I thought you were going to dance around it.
I did. Thank you very little. Where else are we going to go? Oh, here's a good one. A rare dime has been found. An extraordinarily rare dime whose whereabouts had remained a mystery since the late 1970s just sold for more than $500,000. The coin, which was struck by the U.S. Mint in San Francisco in 1975, depicts Franklin Roosevelt and is one of just two known to exist without its distinctive S mint mark. Three sisters from Ohio inherited the dime after the death of their brother, who had kept it in a bank vault for more than 40 years.
It would have been in the cushion of a couch at my home. I would have eventually thrown it out. How do you even know?
How do you know that you...
Because, quote, it looks old.
And how does the mint know that there's only two in existence?
It would have gone the way of a Dana Wright 98-1
yep.
Royals jersey with yep. a signature on the back of it.
By the way, let's go back to that.
I don't want to go back to that.
Did we ever hear from anyone who may or may not have purchased your George Brett autographed Dana Wright 98.1 Kansas City Royals authentic jersey?
And it says Wright on the back.
Correct.
spelled the correct way, which is the only way to spell that. And it's just gone. I cannot believe I left that for the liquidators. So I just left it in the closet with a bunch of other stuff.
But the liquidators would have kept a record of everything that they sold, right?
I doubt it. I think they just come in, clear it out, and she gone.
Can I give you a homework assignment?
I've got it right here. I've got his text. Do you want me to send him a text?
Yes. Say, do you have, like...
a room full of my crap somewhere?
No. Ask him if they keep a log of everything that is sold out of your house when it's liquidated. And if so, did they sell the Royals jersey? And if so, how much did they sell it for?
Quick question. Pretty sure I left an autographed Royals jersey in my closet on a Royals jersey that has my name on the back of it. Would you still happen to have that question mark? And how does that work? Would I have to buy it back? Question mark. I mean, it is mine, but then I hired someone.
Not anymore.
No, it's not.
Right. Now it's not mine, but no one else is going to want a Royals jersey with Wright on the back of it, signed by George Brett.
There it is right there. It's a Royals jersey signed by George Brett.
You say no one would want it? I'm right here.
You want a Royals jersey that says Wright 98-1 on it, signed by George?
Yeah, I can take your name off and put mine on real easy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm asking now. I am kind of curious.
Ask him what consignment store he works with, because I guarantee you he's not the one
long gone. Yeah,
selling
no,
all of these items. He probably has a contract with a consignment store and just takes the stuff and drops it off.
The liquidator shows up with a crew, says, everything here, no, don't take this. I had a couple things with tape on it that I did not want him to take out. And
it's like Pawn Stars.
Yeah.
You're buying the – they come to your house. Do I understand this correctly? They give you a certain sum of money.
Yeah.
Everything in that house, they now have the right to sell.
It's more like Storage Wars.
I think that's what I meant. Yeah. Storage Wars, yeah. Where you buy a storage facility, you have no idea what's on the other side of the door.
But you get a glimpse. You get a look at it for a second.
Real quick.
We're going to estimate that this is worth this much. Okay. Bidding starts at $500.
I don't know. I'm just going to get another one. I'll reach out to the Royals and say, look, funny thing.
You're not going to believe what happened.
You are not going to believe what I
remember that Royals jersey you gave me about
right out the door.
6 years ago.
Now, First of all, I need you to make a custom jersey.
It was five sizes too big for me. Five. I was swimming in that thing. And from time to time, I thought, should I take it to a tailor? Well, it has my you can't tailor that smaller. You know what I'm saying?
You can probably trim it down here.
Maybe
by
trim
your
it
waist.
In the front. I don't know. Anyway, it's neither here nor there. Lesson learned.
Yeah, it ain't there. It ain't here.
It's actually neither here nor there. It was here, and now it's there.
I still have my Royals jersey. It hangs proudly in my closet.
Does it say Parks on it?
Yes, it does.
All right. I'm going to reach out to Sherita over the Royals and say, hey, funny thing, could I get another Wright jersey? And then I'll reach out to a friend who, you know, we'll get the deal done.
Can you ask for one for me, too?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
She's not going to do that.
Yes, I will.
You know what you ought to do?
Didn't you get to be ketchup or mustard or something?
No.
No.
I got to watch you guys throw from the sideline.
We need to make him ketchup or mustard, and you know why? Your knees couldn't handle it, Scott, and I'm not tall enough.
I've run as ketchup four times.
Yes, back when you had knees that worked. So it is Sam's time to shine. We are going to get him to be ketchup, mustard, or whatever. And at that point, I'll get you your jersey, Sam.
He might be too tall.
You can be too tall?
You were disqualified because you were too short.
I think I am on the upper threshold of height acceptability for the suit.
You're saying to me, if former Mayor Mark Funkhauser wanted to be ketchup, mustard, or relish in that race, the Royals would have had to have said to the then mayor, no.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if there
He was like 7'3".
Well, he wasn't that tall, but he's close. I know that there was a minimum height requirement, and sadly, it was higher than what you are. And, man, I can't remember, because we were going to sign you up, and we were going to make it a big surprise.
I love that.
And we were working behind the scenes, and finally, Sherita's like, hey, I need the application. And I wrote her back, and I said, Sherita, Dana is shorter than 5'6".
By a lot.
By a lot. And that was the end of that.
What if she stands on her tiptoes? Not even that.
913-586-7798. That is the text line. We're going to do Terrible Joke Tuesday when we return. So get your terrible jokes in now. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. They have to be terrible but arable. Some of you are already breaking the rules. 913-586-7798. 586-7798.
Hey, Dana.
Yeah, Sam, go ahead.
Did you hear about the three golf clubs that walked into a bar?
I did not.
The pitching wedge ordered a pint. The putter also ordered a pint. The last one ordered water, and the bartender said, "Why water?" The last club said, "I'm the driver."
Hey, Sam.
Yes, Scott.
This is from 4233. What do you call a man with no shins?
I don't know.
Tony. Oh, see myself.
Wow.
Hey, Sam.
Yes, Dana.
What metal are trombones made out of?
I don't know.
Trombonium.
Really?
Hey, Dana.
Yes.
From 7452. Last night, my wife asked me if I had seen the dog bowl.
Uh-huh.
I told her I didn't know he could. Thank you, Dan.
Hey, Scott.
Yes, Sam.
Did you ever hear that you shouldn't scream into a colander?
No.
Yeah, it'll strain your voice.
Okay, that one's good.
Hey, Dana.
Yes.
The Beastie Boys are releasing a 5-part anthology.
Uh-huh.
Parts A through D are free, but you have to fight for your right to part E.
Hey, Dana.
Yes.
You know, I used to love camping, but I can't do it anymore.
Oh, why is that?
It's too intense.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Scott.
Yes, Dana.
What do you call birds who stick together?
I don't know.
Velcros. Hey, Sam.
Yes?
Why did the kangaroo stop drinking coffee?
I don't know.
It made him too jumpy.
Looking for one that's arable?
Yeah, no kidding, guys. Really, I can't do the mansplainer one.
Can we do the Menards one?
I haven't seen that one come through yet.
Yes. I say yes.
Go ahead.
Hey, Dana.
Yes, Sam.
What's a pirate's favorite hardware store?
What's a pirate's favorite hardware store?
Menards.
Are we going there?
Hey, Scott.
Because there are pirate jokes in here.
What do bees do if they need a ride?
I don't know.
They wait at the buzz to stop.
Oh, that's weak.
Hey, Sam.
Yes?
Did you hear about the guy who had his entire left side removed?
Really?
Yeah, he's all right.
Hey, Dana.
Yeah?
You know, I've been thinking about it long and hard, and I think I finally figured out the definition of eye drops.
Oh, let me know.
Blinker fluid.
Dana.
Yes, Scott.
Who won the skeleton beauty contest?
Who won the skeleton beauty contest?
Nobody.
Nope. Got it.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah, Sam.
Have you ever wondered why did chicken coops only have two doors?
No.
If they had four doors, it'd be a chicken sedan.
Hey, Scott.
Yes,
why is
Dana.
It so hard to drive?
Can you hear Dan laughing out in the newsroom?
Why is it so hard to drive in a screw?
I don't know.
Because it doesn't have a steering wheel.
Hey, Sam.
Yes.
What generation was Forrest Gump born in?
I don't know.
Gen A.
I didn't know if that one was arable.
Hey, Sam, do you know they filmed a documentary just once about constipation?
Really?
Yeah, they filmed it, but it never came out.
Sam.
Yes.
Why couldn't the little boy go see the pirate movie?
I don't know.
It was rated R.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Sam.
Where do ye find a pirate who's lost his wooden leg?
Well, Sam, I don't know. Where do ye?
Right where ye left him.
News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.